This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, filling in for Terry Gross. Brian Dennehy has been an actor on stage, screen, and TV for more than 25 years. Yet until recently, many people have known Dennehy less by his name than his roles, from the charming but deadly sheriff in the movie Silverado to the kindly alien in Cocoon. His current Broadway role as Willie Loman in Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman has changed all that. The play earned Tony Awards for Best Revival, for director Robert Falls, for supporting actress Elizabeth Franz, and for Dennehy in the starring role of a man who was inspired to live the life of a salesman.
I met a salesman in the Parker House. His name was Dave Singleman, and he was 84 years old. And he had drummed merchandise in 31 states. Old Dave. He'd go up to his room, you understand? He'd put on his green velvet slippers. I'll never forget. And pick up his phone and call the buyers. And without ever leaving his room at the age of 84, he made his living. Well, when I saw that, I realized that selling was the greatest career a man could want. I mean, what could be more satisfying than to be able to go at the age of 84, 20, 30 different cities, pick up a phone, and be remembered and loved and helped by so many different people, you know? When he died, by the way, he died the death of a salesman in his green velvet slippers, in the smoker of the New York, New Haven, and Hartford, going into Boston.
The part of Willie Loman is a grueling role, and Dennehy, 61, has no understudy. I asked him what it was like to perform that part so many times a week, month after month.
Doing a demanding role in the theater over a long period of time is like having a bad case of Lyme disease or the flu. You find yourself taking thin soup and resting a lot and then getting up and going to the theater so that you have that explosive energy that you need for the three-hour periods that the play runs. And then after that, you collapse and you go back to your very monk-like existence. It becomes an acolyte. I mean, what you do is the play, and you do very little else. So it's a grind. It's tough. At the same time, it certainly represents for me the kind of culmination of many years of being in the business and many years of life. I mean, Willie is a part that has more to do with your life experiences than it does with your acting experiences. And I suspect it would be very difficult for someone 35 or 40 years old, to play Willie Loman. I think you've got to have the age and the scars and the toughened hide to play Willie, to understand him.
Is there a moment in Death of a Salesman, or was there a moment in preparing for Death of a Salesman, where the character of Willie Loman really hit you personally?
Well, there was a moment in rehearsal. I had an awful lot of trouble. I always have trouble in the first few weeks because I'm struggling with the lines and I'm trying to rationalize what it is I'm doing. And this is why you have directors, and this is why Bob is such a good director. And I kept saying to him, I don't understand this guy. I don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand why he does this. And even though the rehearsals were going very well, I had no idea why certain things were happening. And Bob said, don't try to understand it. Willie does not lead an examined life. He's not capable of it, and he's afraid to examine his life, because if he does, he'll see all kinds of things that he doesn't want to see. What Willie does is live by instinct. He lives by a bumper sticker philosophy, and he keeps lowering his head and just going straight ahead at his life. There's an instinctive, primal quality to the way he lives. And when I realized that, and I realized that that was right, it became clearer. Acting is strange in that way. It's very hard to hold. It's quicksilver. There's a great story about Maggie Smith when she did Desdemona to Olivier's famous Othello. And after the show had been running about 4 or 5 months, Olivier tried all kinds of interesting things. He made himself into a black man, and he lowered his voice, and he did all kinds of interesting physical things in order to get this Othello. And one night, it all came together, and it was extraordinary. It was just an extraordinary performance. And Maggie Smith ran down to Olivier's dressing room to tell him that, and she walked in, and Olivier was sobbing, uncontrollably sobbing at his makeup table. And she was shocked, and she said, "Larry, what's the matter?" She said, "Why are you so upset? That was brilliant. I've never seen anything like that." And he turned to her, and he says, "Yes, I know, and I don't know why."
Oh, wow.
And at the end of the day, that's what happens. You never know why.
Okay, well, I've got a question that you can answer right now. And
maybe.
I'm pretty sure. This one is another Chicago role that you did. You played Hickey in An Iceman Cometh. And then you come to Broadway, and you're up against Kevin Spacey playing the same role on Broadway.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking you to say who is a better actor. You are Kevin. But since you have played both of these salesman roles, which is a better role, do you think? Hickey or Willie?
Well, I don't know. I think that's a very difficult question to answer because typically the part that you're playing is the one that's most, that resonates strongly, most strongly inside. I would have to say that, now I did that part, it was 10 years ago, I was 50, and I think I was physically a lot stronger then than I am now. When I say that I think that Willie is harder to do, what has to be factored in is that I'm older and perhaps not as vigorous as I was 10 years ago. But I do think that Willie is a harder part because what happens with Hickey, and it's a wonderful, wonderful part, and God bless Kevin Spacey for doing it and for bringing it to Broadway. I mean, that's a courageous and a important thing to do. Having said that, there is a long, kind of slow, gradual build-up to the enormous fourth-act speech, and it is, believe it or not, folks, in the fourth act when that speech comes, where Hickey sounds forth for 30, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is, and the whole climax of the play is reached. And it is like climbing Mount Everest. There's an awful lot of trudging up these steep ascents, but that it's the last huge speech where you're actually doing all the pyrotechnics. With Willie, early on in the play, he has a breakdown right in front of us, and he jumps into this maelstrom of emotions that are torturing him, and we see that. And there are lots of moments in the play when he's just moving back and forth between his normal life, his everyday life, which he is desperately trying to hang on to, and this torture of the past and what might have been and what should have been and where he did right and where he did wrong, so that there is no slowly rising arc in the part. It's more like a series of jagged U-turns. And it's exhausting. So I find this play much harder to do, much more physically difficult to do than I found Hickey. But Hickey, believe me, was tough. You know, to say which one is the better part, which one is the harder part, it's very difficult to say. The one that you're doing now is usually the harder one.
All right. Our guest is Brian Dennehy, the Tony-winning star of Death of a Salesman. To go back to how you got on the stage in the first place, I understand you're raised Irish Catholic in Queens, and in high school you were both on the football team and in the high school theater. Is that right?
Well, we didn't have a high school theater program. When I started high school, I had a wonderful teacher named Chris Sweeney, who is still a friend of mine, is still very much a part of my life. I was one of those very, very fortunate young people who had an extraordinary mentor at the right age. I was 13 or 14, and I was a complete wise ass. And Chris realized that there was some energy there. I wouldn't call it talent at that point, but energy. And he was interested in theater himself, so he started a theater department at this Catholic boys, all-boys school. And we started out by doing Macbeth. And I was 13 or 14 years old, and we did a shortened version of Macbeth for the student body, which, again, was a bunch of tough Irish Catholic boys, 1952, 1953.
Right. Really wanted to hear Shakespeare.
Yeah, they really wanted to see me play Macbeth. And people always say, boy, you had a lot of guts to go out there and play Macbeth in front of this audience. And I say, can I tell you something? Not nearly as much guts as the little 13-year-old freshman had who played Lady Macbeth. He was really brave because he put on a dress, and he was good, too. Yeah. He was very good. That took guts. But anyway, Chris, as any great teacher does, Chris opened a door and showed me something on the other side that I didn't even know existed. And, of course, that something at that point was just a possibility. And eventually I got back into acting, and I became an actor. But I owe it really all to that initial stimulus, that idea that there was something that I could do that I really liked, I enjoyed, I cared about, and maybe make a life at it.
Even before you became an actor for real, what actors and actresses inspired you?
Well, I think as a kid, I loved John Wayne. And it's only in recent years that I've come to realize what an interesting actor he was. I loved him, and I didn't really know why. Very few people do. But, of course, John Wayne had the essential quality that an actor must have, which is the ability to suspend disbelief. Now, later on, of course, I, like many of my peers, was enormously affected by Marlon Brando. And I remember vividly seeing at the age of 14 or whatever on the waterfront. And for the first time, because it's not something that John Wayne could do for me or Spencer Tracy or Humphrey Bogart or any of those guys. For the first time when I saw that picture, I realized that there were people in the business who looked like me and who sounded like me and who came from places like I came from. Before that time, acting was like ballet. It was something that I could appreciate but never could consider myself a part of. But all of a sudden, acting became a possibility because there were people in this movie doing it that I knew were actors, but they weren't like no actors I'd ever seen before.
My guest is actor Brian Dennehy. He's currently starring as Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman on Broadway. Back after a break, this is Fresh Air. Back to our interview with actor Brian Dennehy. Let me ask you, one of the things that I really love about your career is that you don't seem to have any snobbery about stage versus movies versus TV.
That's a very kind way of putting it.
Well, but looking back, each of those areas requires something, I think, very different in an actor. And what are the frustrations and freedoms of each? I mean, how is stage acting different from TV acting, different than movie acting, when you're putting together a role?
Well, for one, you get paid a hell of a lot less. Once I became a professional actor, and it took a long time, I really wasn't making a living at this until I was in my late 30s. I was playing catch-up. I had kids who were getting ready to go to college, and I knew I had the responsibility, which I did not resent, to make sure that they had good educations. I had a wife that had made great sacrifices over the years, whom I knew it was not fair to to ask any further sacrifices of. So I made decisions in those days to do certain things that I probably shouldn't have done. I did a lot of television, but I was paying the bills and I was sending my kids to school and eventually trying to help them buy houses and so forth. And I have no regrets about that. I learned a lot doing television. I learned how to work fast. I learned how to rewrite stuff in a hurry that was barely written, at a good time. And they've certainly made a good living at it. I got a chance to be in some really good movies, and I learned with that part of the business, to see a real good filmmaker work, like Alan Pakula or Larry Kasdan, or even Peter Greenaway, who was probably the most unique individual making movies at the time, and maybe even today. So I had a wide-ranging career. I've never been as careful about my choices as I should have been, and there are some regrets about that, but not too many.
Let me ask you some questions about audiences. First of all, before I forget, this is a fairly recent thing that made the papers. Somebody in the audience, when you were performing Death of a Salesman in New York, came in very late, and you sort of broke character to scold them.
And no, that's not really.
Well,
that's not really
whatever happened. Really happened.
Because you always have to deal with latecomers. No, because these things always have a way of becoming something else. What had happened was, you always have to deal with latecomers, and you just ignore that and go on. But what happened was that there was an argument that broke out between two patrons, at least two patrons, in the balcony about the seating. And they were arguing at the top of their voices. And meantime, me and Linda are trying to do the scene. So I finally stopped, and I said, look, why don't you straighten out your problems, and we'll wait. Let us know when you're ready, and we'll go on. There's no point in trying to compete with it. I waited for a second, and she said, okay, we're all right now. The woman, whoever it was, woman's voice, said, thank you, we're okay now. And I just said, you know, if you came on time, you wouldn't have that problem. And the audience applauded, and we went on.
It's got to be...
Everybody talks about cell phones.
Yes.
And everybody talks about the candy wrappers. But what drives me nuts are the latecomers. Somebody pays $75 for these tickets, and then they come late.
Yeah. My guest is Brian Dennehy. How important is the set to this production of Death of a Salesman?
Well, I think it's very important. I think that one of the unfortunate things about this year with the Tony Awards, what happens is that lighting and set categories are... dramas and musicals are all mixed up, which is too bad because musicals, understandably, get a lot more attention in those categories. But I think Mark Wedland and Mike Philippi did extraordinary work. I remember saying to Michael, who did the lighting design, who lives in Baltimore, lives and works in Baltimore, I said, Michael, I feel like I'm standing in the dark up here. And he said, Brian, one thing you have to understand, he says, in this play, in this production, he said, the dark is just as important as the light. And he was right about that, and as he was about so much else. I think it's very important. It's very much of a departure from what had been done before, which was the classic Joel Milesiner set, the little house between the big projections.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it adds a great deal. I mean, there are people who hate the set, but I think it's a modern set, but I think it's very, very important. And it's a real important part of the... success of this production.
Well, the way it shifts around to show the different viewpoints and the different realities of Willie, I think, is crucial to this understanding of the play.
Yeah, the original title of this play was Inside His Head, and Arthur wanted it to be that. Willie living in the present and living in the past simultaneously.
As you've come to know Arthur Miller, what advice or compliments or anything has he given you that really registered and that you'll always walk away trying?
Well, we've become pretty friendly, and he's a wonderful person. I mean, he has something which I envy, which is peace. He has a great sense of peace. This is a guy who lived an extraordinary life and did extraordinary work and continues to do that work and is very, very smart and right to the minute and sharp as hell. But he's also found some peace, which is a nice thing to have. And I admire him and I like him. He's a good man and he's a great artist. And I don't know, I just, he's, every once in a while you bump into somebody in your life, if you're lucky, you know, who kind of just illuminates everything around you. And Arthur is one of those people.
Has he said anything that really struck you?
Well, he's very careful with his compliments. But I know he likes this production. I know he likes this Willie. It's not Manny Newman who is the real Willie, but he said one thing. He didn't say it to me, but he said it to one interviewer, and I treasure it, and I will always treasure it. When he said, "Well, I really admire Brian because he goes out there every night and he falls on his sword," and he's exactly right. That's what I do.
Well, Brian, I want to thank you very much for that production and that performance and for being here today on Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Actor Brian Dennehy. Through October, he's starring on Broadway in Death of a Salesman. I'm David Biancooley, and this is Fresh Air.